Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Please be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil. All that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ in this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sins, humbly confess them, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and deliver us, took upon himself our sinful nature and punishment we deserve. So that we may more competently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became a man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking upon myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he has delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we by our words and actions serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body. Even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from this one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and many bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty, merciful God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please rise.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. Please be seated. So, we are going to do individual absolution. So, come up, kneel at the rail, and I'll give each one of you the blessing that we usually do corporately, but I'll do it to you individually. Okay?
Thank you. I'm going to stand back in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stand back in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stand back in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And instead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And instead of by the Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And instead of by the Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
So at this time, we're going to share the peace of God with each other. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifested in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this evening is from the 12th chapter of Exodus. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. This shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. But the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual. He caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 11th chapter. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise as we continue with the tract. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink.
Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with the hymn of the
Thank you. commandment. On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Dear saints in Christ, St. Paul repeats and even expands in the letter to the Christians in Rome. He encourages you, saying, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Christ summarizes the law elsewhere, saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And then in the very next chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul says simply that love fulfills the law. St. John gives you the opposite explicitly. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Nevertheless, the original commandment, "Love your neighbor as yourself," was not lacking. It needed no improvement. It needed no expansion. It was not too difficult to apply in our modern context. But the hardened hearts of men, they needed to be softened, required to be repeated. So the disciples had let the command to love grow old and dusty, and needed to be refurbished, restored, and reinstated. Nevertheless, you need to hear the repetition: be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. You need this, because at times you have idealized the law to the point of an abstraction. You have reduced it to a cliche or to a simple formula. Brothers and sisters in Christ, repent. Love is a command. It is not simply an idea. It is no dream or utopian fantasy. It is most certainly not optional. It is a call to action. Not an excuse for philosophy and speculation. It is an accusation. It requires repentance, and it requires reform. So if our Lord's own summary of the law and the constant repetition of it throughout the history of Israel and in the New Testament is not enough, then let this cause you to take it to heart, that on the very night in which he was betrayed, and some of his last, very last words before his crucifixion, Jesus took the time to speak this commandment again. That alone should give it great weight, and that alone should cause great seriousness to you. He frames the law in terms of love, lest someone not see the forest for the trees. For the law is subject to abuse by us. It is possible to become bogged down in details and not to see the purpose. A man can focus on the rules in isolation or miss their purpose. He can deceive himself into thinking that an outward keeping of the law is enough. Nevertheless, it is not. I like the translation in Romans 12 of be kindly affectionate. The Greek word here is a compound word. It is made up of the word phileo, which is used in classical Greek for the love of one's closest friends. And the word storge, which is used for the love of aunts and uncles, cousins, and even parents. Jammed together, this love describes familiarity. It describes a closeness and a real affection. The word that is translated here as brotherly love is the Greek word for Philadelphia, just like the city. But this isn't the love for siblings. The love for siblings was in the word storge, which Paul used in the compound word in the same sentence. In both the Old and the New Testaments, the word brother almost always means Christian. You could translate Philadelphia as love for people with whom you go to church, or love for people sitting in this room with you this evening. Nevertheless, the law is fulfilled by love. It is for love. The Pharisees typically missed this. Oh yes, they tithed spices, but they ignored their parents. They thought that they were giving precedence to the first table of the law, loving God. And they considered the first table spiritually superior to the second, as though God's will was divided. But by failing to love their neighbors, they failed to love God and were blasphemers. You know, the same thing can happen to you. You must actively resist sin. You must cultivate love. You must take this commandment to heart, so that you are not slaves who fear punishment, but because you are sons who long to be like their father and to please him. As St. John urges you and explains, in this the love of God was manifested toward us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So then you must consider how to cultivate love as the beloved. In the first place, the Apostle Paul's letter says, let love be without hypocrisy. It means let it be honest. Let it not be merely an outward show, but an actual moving of the heart for the good of another. After that, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And he explains some of what that looks like. He writes, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You see, you can cultivate love by giving honor to one another. But this means being attentive to one another, by listening to one another, by explaining the actions of one another in the kindest possible way. You honor one another by believing that your brothers want to do good and will gladly accept rebukes and corrections. You honor one another by seeing in one another sincerity and also the capacity and the desire for growth. You can pray for one another. You can share your goods, skills, and your time with one another. You can extend hospitality. Now, will this be easy? Absolutely not. Christianity is never about avoiding hard things and seeking the easy way. You do not love your brothers by ignoring their sins or pretending things other than they are. No, you do it by doing the hard things and suffering the consequences. This is what Jesus does for you. He suffers hard and long, and he is kind. He does not envy. He does not parade himself. He is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own advantage. He is not provoked, nor thinks evil. He does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus is an example for you. Oh, you will fail one another. You will sin. But you can repent and be washed anew in the blood of Christ. You can develop true affection for one another. And in that grace, you should be confident and deliberate. You should trust that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," he meant it. He meant it not simply as an accusation, but also as a guide. And he demands nothing that he does not provide. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, send your Spirit, and make your face shine on your Church. In this sacrament which proclaims the death of Christ, let your holy way be made known in all the earth, and your saving power among all nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, give us zeal for your house, for your word and your table. May we ever rejoice in the privilege of your grace, whereby we can be called to faith, sustained in hope, kept in the true faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, give us a heart of mercy to love all people and serve them as Christ has loved and served us. Bless your Church and provide for her faithful pastors and church workers, that we may keep the faith and not be led astray by every wind of change. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, give our leaders wisdom and courage, that they may serve your word in the punishment of wrong, the promotion of good, and the protection of the weak.
Bless mothers with child and the children in their wombs. Lead us to care for them, that we would not dishonor your sacred gift of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless, Lord, give healing to the sick according to your good and gracious will. Grant relief to the suffering by your grace. Give comfort to the grieving and peace to the dying. We lift before you those who have requested our prayers. Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Michael, Lincoln, Eric, Deanna, Brianna, Chuck, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, Pastor Yurnak, the Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family, and all who suffer amongst us. Bring all things to their perfect healing and fulfillment in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, may the blood of your Son, Jesus, be upon us and upon our children, to cleanse us from sin and bestow upon us his new and eternal covenant. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, as the institution of your New Testament is celebrated this day among all peoples, make your saving power known throughout the earth. Grant that those who boast in the sacrificial gift of Christ would share him with the world he came to bless. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, we have the choir is going to sing. And so we're doing that in place of hymn 307. And then after the choir sings, we have an announcement. Okay?
Thank you. I have the announcement. I've been curious about some of the foods that were served at Passover and the Last Supper, so I brought appetizers. There's unleavened bread, hummus, olives, little two bits of lamb, a little bit of cheese, and I forget what else. Also, there's a candle burning down there, which is, I don't know how to pronounce this right, spikenard. That was the ointment that Mary used to anoint Jesus when he was at Mary and Martha's house. And so I was curious about the smell of that, so that candle was burning downstairs right now. So anyone who wants to, come on down and sample.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
This to his often as you drink it.
in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
True body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take it, true body of Christ. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give you baptism and grace.
Take a drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
This is the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true body of Christ. This true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins.
Thank you.
given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for you all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for you all your sins. Body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Jesus,
Please rise.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among themselves. In my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, I heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship.
All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. The posterity shall serve him. He will not be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. He has done this.